Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to people who want to speak more as a way to build their income and grow their business.
Well, welcome everyone. You are on the Wealthy Speaker Teleclass with I'm your host, Jane Atkinson, and our special guest today is Willie Jolly. We're going to be talking about how to make your keynotes more memorable, magical, and motivational. And I just want to say thank you so much, Willie, for taking time out of your busy speaking schedule to be here with us today. Thank you.
It is my privilege and pleasure to be in your presence and to be with so many of the great people on the line today.
Well, thank you. Let me give you a quick little intro, everybody, of Willie Jolly. He is the host on XM Radio of the Wealthy Ways Network show. He's got his own radio show. He's got a couple of best-selling books, including several books, but these bestsellers, It Only Takes a Minute to Change Your Life, and A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback. I love that title. Willie is a member of the Speaker Hall of Fame, that's with the National Speakers Association, and has been voted one of the 5 top outstanding speakers by Toastmasters magazine. And what I don't think you know, Willie, was that the first time I may have laid eyes on you was about 20 years ago at my very, very first NSA convention in Washington, D.C., where you were on the main stage. Do you remember that?
I sang the national anthem.
And I think you made me cry. I'm Canadian, okay? And I'm sitting down there, and I'm in this really, really red, white, and blue convention. And I cried throughout the whole thing. It was one of the most amazing conferences I've ever attended.
And it was one really of those incredible moments, and even to this day, people will go. I will go places, and people will play that version of the national anthem. And for those who want to see it, you actually can go on YouTube, I believe, and see that it's called Willie Jolly and Jane Herlong's version of the national anthem. It's pretty powerful.
Wow, it was. I can still remember it, and that's why when I saw your promotion come across for the boot camp that you're doing, I thought, oh my goodness, we have to talk to Willie and talk to him about what makes things like that so memorable, what makes the keynotes that you're doing. Now, just in case people drop off the line early at the end, Willie, let's go ahead and let them know where they can get some information about this boot camp. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. You know, we have for many years had numerous calls and emails into our office almost daily, at least a good number every week. People say, I've seen you on TV, or I've read your books, or I've heard you speak, and I want to be a speaker. And initially in my business, I'd get calls from people. They say, can I have lunch with you, or can I have dinner with you? You know, we get, you know what kind of questions we get all the time. And I was more than happy to do that because someone had given me time and energy when I first got started and gave me advice. And so I would try and have lunch with many people as I could. But the problem was I realized after a number of times of doing it, they really didn't get much. By the time we sat down, they said hello, I said hello, we ordered food, we talked for about a half hour, we'd eat, and then the hour's over, I got to go. They just skimmed the surface of what's possible and what they needed to know. And so one day I just told Dee, you know, we got to find a better way to help people grow their business or get in this business and be successful. And so we decided to do a 2-day boot camp where they could have me for 2 days. We could talk about a lot more, do a deep dive into what takes, and then on top of that, have my staff involved to tell you how they run the back office. And that's a big part. I know Les Brown quite often says he wishes he could have a Dee. Dee is my wife who runs my organization, and she used to run a congressman's office, and I figured if she could run his office with such efficiency, she could definitely help me. So it's going to be April 29th and 30th here in Washington, D.C. We're going to do it at our office, so it means it's going to be very intimate. We're going to keep it small, so seats have been going quickly, so I recommend anybody who's interested to get one of those last few seats to make sure you contact
them
today.
Where do they go to do that?
They go to williejolly.com. It should be right on the front page of the website, and they can get information, or they can just simply call our office at 202 202-723-8863. 202-723, and if you want to just put in a, it's TUNE, T-U-N-E, 202-TUNE. 202-723-TUNE, which is 8863, 723-8863. Okay.
Great. So if anybody, we'll have some chances to ask some questions at the end of the call. Because we have such a large audience today, nearly 100 people, what I'll ask you to do is if you have a question for Willie, go ahead and send it to me by email, jane@speakerlauncher.com, and I'll do my best to get to them. I can't promise, but I'll do my best. But let's get into some stuff about keynotes here.
All right. All right, very good.
Tell me why you think, Willie, people hire you. What is it specifically when clients call your office that they are calling you for?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It depends on what kind of client it is. And I think this is important for people to be aware of and mindful of. Bottom line is everybody who calls wants a result. Everybody who calls wants to get something dealt with, something taken care of, or get a result. And if you keep that in mind, then you can have greater impact on your clients and you have greater impact on the people in the audience. It's about the result. And I found that there are two types of results that most clients call us for. If they're corporate clients, they call us for the result of a quantitative improvement in their business so that their customer service rating goes up or their profits go up, their sales numbers go up, or their people improve their performance and their productivity. So they want a quantitative result, an improvement of some sort. If it's an association client, what the result they want is they want their attendees to say, wow. That's what they want. That's bottom line what they want. They want their attendees to leave that keynote going, wow, best event I've ever been to or best keynote I've ever heard of. You know, now they say that every year, but they want them to feel that. They want them to be wowed. They want them to be dazzled. They want them to be excited. They want them to be empowered. They want them to be wowed. And so they're not as concerned about the quantitative improvement of performance. They want their folks to leave that association event wowed. And so I was just sharing with my assistant, Cheryl Reagan, my marketing manager, a letter we got from a client just last week from an association who sent me this incredible letter. And the letter was so profound because in the letter it said, Willie, thank you for your keynote for our convention. Our attendees are raving about the message, and you delivered, you knocked it out the box, and you wowed them. I said, Cheryl, that's what they want. At the end of the day, that's what they want. No matter what else people say, they want that. And the corporate people want the other. They want, wow, yeah, that's great too. But at the end of the day, they want to look at their bottom line. Did this help us with the bottom line? Because we're going to pay you if we want to get a great return on our investment.
Okay. And you know what? I bet you if we were having this conversation maybe 10 years ago, would you say that it would have been a little bit less that people were concerned about the ROI? I mean, really, when the bottom falls out of the economy, people
get nervous. Yeah, this makes it even more pronounced. Now, I believe that corporate folks always want to improve their business and they want to improve their numbers, but it's even more pronounced now because if they bring you in and they're going to pay you a significant fee to come and speak, that now that money means more to them. You know, there was a time when money was just flowing and they were just spending money. They were just spending money like water because everything was flowing. But when it got tight, they want to get some results and they want measurable results right now because we got to turn this around. And, you know, I've developed this reputation as helping people to come back. You know, there were setbacks set up for a comeback, turn setbacks into comebacks, and turn setbacks into greenbacks, PBS special, as well as the last book, Turn Setbacks into Greenbacks. So this whole setback and the comeback message is something that's reverberating. And then when Success Magazine did their nice feature article last year on my work with Ford Motor Company and the fact that I was the speaker Ford came to reach out to in 2006, and I worked with them in 2006, and then again in 2007, and then again in 2008, and then in 2009, They rejected the government bailout, and in 2010 they had billion-dollar profits, and now they are just flying high. Well, Success Magazine was kind enough to hear about it and kind enough to call and do a whole picture spread and an article and a feature article about the Comeback King. I don't know if that's all I could say it is, but I did have the opportunity to be in a position to help Ford with a new mindset and to transform the thinking so that there could be a comeback position that they would be able to be in.
So I really want people on the line to see the ROI that you are offering to your customer, the value of it. What problem are you helping to solve? The setback is the problem, and the comeback is the solution for you. And how brilliant is it that a magazine would actually pick up your brand and run with it and call you the Comeback King? I mean, that is the coolest, if you ask me. That's like what everybody wants.
I wish I were bright enough and brilliant enough to say I had thought of it, but I wasn't. They just called and said, we heard about your work with Ford, we saw your PBS special or something, or they read about it. I don't know where they got it, but they called, and that's great. And I'm just thinking it's going to be a regular magazine interview, and then they said, we're sending a photographer to D.C. to take some pictures. Okay, great, great, great. And then this beautiful article, and it says, The Comeback King, and I said, wow. When it came out, I was like, wow, that's awesome. You're right. That's awesome. But I'm grateful. You know, Jane, let me say this. I am grateful. I'm a keynote speaker who's grateful. I'm a speaker who's grateful. I'm an author who's grateful. I'm a radio personality or a TV personality who's just grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to do what I do. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share my message. I'm grateful for the opportunity that people's lives have been positively impacted, and I'm grateful every single solitary day I do what I do, every day.
Well, and that might be a lesson alone for people, because gratitude seems to have worked for Oprah, and
yeah,
it seems to be working for you too. So maybe there's something in that for everybody to think about. How do we bring that forward in our psyche every day? Okay, and that's part of why we wanted to hang out with you today. Part was to really dig into the keynote and see what are the ingredients that you might put in to make this keynote more memorable, more magical. Tell us some of the things. Like, where would you start if you were building a new keynote?
Well, first thing I would start is, what is the problem that wants to be solved or that begs to be solved? So first thing I would do is set up the problem, that whatever the problem may be. Here is the problem that we want to put at the beginning of the keynote. Here's the problem. And then what are the solutions? What are the points that will help solve that problem or get people past that problem and deal with it? And then wrap it up at the end with after we've given clearly what the problem, clearly what the solution, and how they get energized to take action on those solutions today, right now.
Okay. And how important would you say stories are into weaving all that together?
I never give a speech where I don't have just a story followed by another story followed by another story. I give stories throughout my message. One time I was teaching a presentation skills class, and I just was sharing some ideas, and somebody counted how many stories I told in about 10 minutes, and I told just story after story after story, not even thinking about it, because that's where I found years ago. Now, but let me tell you, I wish I could say I figured that out on my own. One of my mentors in the speaking business was one of the greatest keynote presenters of all time. Her name was Rosita Perez. Everybody loved Rosita. Rosita passed away a couple of years ago, but she was my godmother in the speaking business. And when I first went to the National Speakers Association in 1992, I met her, and I had just started. I had some ugly little cards, and the cards didn't even have my address on them, just had a telephone number. Well, Rosita always liked to send people notes. She would send you a little note, and my address wasn't on it. So I went to the summer convention in 1992 in Orlando. I met her. I was green behind the ears. I knew nothing. I was so pitiful. I had one suit to my name, and that was a mismatched jacket and a mismatched pair of pants. That's literally what I had. And so I was around it, just bumping into people, but I was enthusiastic. I was like enthusiastic, super enthusiastic. This is my first speaker convention. I'm just getting into the speaking business. I'm like, wow. And so I meet this lady. They say her name is Rosita Perez. I talk to her for a few minutes. I grab her hand. I look her in the eye, and I talk to her. I'm so excited. Well, I come back to the winter workshop that year, and the next year in 93 in Nashville, Tennessee, and I see her again. She said, you know, I've been wanting to talk to you, but you didn't, or reach out to you, but I, and this is for email, obviously. She said, you didn't have an address on your card on how to send you a note. She said, I just want to tell you something. I'm interested in learning more about you. I said, okay, great. And she said, would you send me your demo tape? I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so I sent her my demo tape. And then she reached back out to me and sent me a note and said, when you get a chance, call me. And I called her. She said, let me tell you something. I see something in you that I've seen in a couple other speakers. I saw it in Les Brown. I saw it in this person, that person. There's some energy, there's an excitement and enthusiasm that's rare and exciting. She said, let me tell you where I see you falling down. You have to stop telling everybody else's story and tell your story. She said, you're telling about Edison failing 10,000 times in your video. You're telling about Abraham Lincoln failing and all those times to become the president. You're telling everybody else's story, which every new speaker does. She said, you won't really get it until you tell your story.
Mm,
and
nice.
That was profound counsel. And from that day to this, I tell my story. Occasionally, I'll weave in and interject something that I've read or I know of somebody else's piece that illustrates my point that I'm trying to prove. But it's my story, my situations, my problems, my mess. And I believe you must be willing to tell it, get a message out of your mess. Your message should be about your pain. Let me tell you, one other lesson I learned early on in speaking. After I experienced that event with Rosita, I was then more mindful of speakers. And one time I went to hear some speakers at a seminar, one of those big rallies or something, and I would listen to all the speakers. And one speaker came out, and he talked about how perfect his life was, how perfect his children was, how much money he was making, and if he would just do these steps, everything would go hunky-dory, and I'm writing notes like crazy, and I'm getting all the information. I'm not even hardly looking up. I'm taking so many notes. And his life was sounding great. I said, wow. A few speakers later came up and said, I struggle with my life. I struggle with paying my bills. I struggle with a speaker. I struggle with my business. I struggle with getting it all together. I wish I had it all together, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I've struggled. He said, let me tell you an experience I had when I had a time in my life where they cut off my electricity. And my three little girls said, Daddy, why are we playing hide and seek in the house? He said, we'll keep playing hide and seek. I've got to go downtown. And he said, I went downtown to the electric company, and I didn't have the money. And I looked around until I could find a little person who might be sympathetic. And I saw a little old lady who was behind the glass. And I went over, and I stood in her line. And when I got to her door, her window, I said, ma'am, let me tell you, I can't pay my bills. My daughter's at home in the dark. They think we're playing hide and go seek. I'm working hard. I'm waiting for some money to come in. I'm doing all I can. I got some money coming in. It'll be in about 2 weeks. I'm guaranteed that. They said it's definitely going to be in, but I can't pay my bill today. But is there any way you can help me? And that little old lady, she looked him in his eye and said, hold on. And she did something on the computer. And she said, you've got 21 days. You're good to go for 21 days because I believe you. And let me tell you, he said that thing, when he told me that, that's the guy I related to. That's the guy I connected with because he was me, okay? He was me. I'm the one who struggled to keep the lights on, the phones on, struggled to grow my business when no one knew who I was. And even today, I still struggle. Because let me tell you something I found out over the years, that every level is a new struggle. There's a new struggle, and I wish I could tell you I had it all together, and I got it so that everything just pops all the time. I'm trying to get in TV. I'm trying to expand my radio presence. I'm trying to expand my presence in the social media network. At every level, when you go when I first started, I was at $350, I believe. Well, actually, when I first started, I was $150 for school. So, but every level, I would jump up from $150 to $350 to $500 to $750 to $1,000. Every time I'd go up, It was a new struggle. And each time I'd go up, there were some clients in that earlier group that I had to leave. They couldn't afford me anymore. So when I got to 301, who could pay me $150, that's all they get to pay me. Or when I got to 750, what's it? 300, couldn't pay me anymore. And you see, it's continually going up, and there's continuous struggles, and there's continue messages. But I encourage people. That's what I want to do, encourage people to keep struggling. Keep struggling. And one of my books, I think it's Setback Set Up for a Comeback book, tells a story about a little boy going through a forest, comes upon an emperor moth, struggling to make the transformation from a moth to a butterfly. He looks at his struggles to get through the opening of the cocoon. An hour goes by, 2 hours, 3 hours. He looks at his struggle. Finally, he takes out a pen knife, cuts a slit in the cocoon. Out falls a bug that's neither a moth nor a butterfly. Has a big, bloated body, small, shriveled, undeveloped wings. He goes to get his grandfather. Grandfather, come look. Why won't this bug fly? It's laying on the ground. It can't fly. Why won't it fly? He said, what did you do? I cut a slit to make it easy so it wouldn't have to struggle. He said, my son, that's where the mistake was made. See, and it's in that struggle of going through that small opening in the cocoon that it forces the fluid out the body into the wings. Without going through that struggle and forcing the fluid out the body into the wings, that butterfly cannot fly. And a butterfly that cannot fly would never survive in the wilderness. The moral of the story is that life and flight are in the struggle. So I'm encouraging everybody, as you grow in your business, you sometimes feel discouraged, you feel frustrated, you're thinking about quitting. I'm saying it's another struggle. Every level is a new struggle, and be willing to continue to struggle at the next level, and you'll be amazed at how you'll grow some new skill sets and some new abilities as keynoters, as speakers, as presenters, as trainers. It's continuing to grow. You'll continue to grow.
So, you know, I want to point out, because you're such a master, your own technique of painting the picture for us of the cocoon story. You know, I hope everybody was listening and heard the brushstrokes of you saying that this was the setting that was going on. It sounds to me like you've told that story a time or two.
Yeah, once or twice.
that you weren't just pulling it out of the memory of your book. And so, you know, when you tell a story and you are painting this mental picture, what is the magic Willy ingredient to that? What's your angle on kind of...
You know, that's such a profound question, and you would not have known to ask that question. But when I started speaking, there was no such thing as PowerPoint. Okay. The most you had was you had a flip chart or you had transparency. Well, I didn't do any of that. And I remember saying to myself, what I want to do, I thought one of the greatest speakers of all time was Martin Luther King. And what I wanted to do was to be able to paint a picture with words like Martin Luther King did in the I Have a Dream speech, where you visualize those images. And I said, that's what I want to do, be able to paint a picture with my words, that people will be able to go with me on that journey, to actually visualize that moment and to get an innate impact, so that will go away with them that after they leave that point. And I've had people who tell me years later, stories that I told them. They recapped the stories years later. I was in Japan speaking for the U.S. Marines. In Japan, go to the Marine base to enter the base, have to go through security. Get to the security office and they say, oh, we want to see your ID. I give the guy my passport. He's the captain of the security office. He looks at my passport. He says, Willie Jolly. Are you Willie Jolly, the speaker? I said, yes. He said, my. He said, do you remember coming to Carroll Senior High School in 1993, speaking for the students at Carroll Senior High School in Washington, D.C.? I said, yeah, of course. He said, I was in that class. And you told a story about your three friends. He named my friends, Michael and Anthony and yourself, and you know, the three of you, and you told the story how one did this and one did that, and how the choices one made impacted his life positively, and the choices the other one made impacted his life negatively. And it was that day that I went home and told my father, I said, I have changed my life, Dad. I'm not going to hang with that gang of thugs I used to hang out with. I'm going to really focus on school because I heard a message today. He said, as a result of your message, I am now the captain of the guard here, at the security force base. It was one of those moments, you know, one of those moments. And he recounted my story to me almost word for word.
No, he didn't remember, you know, leadership point number three.
No.
He remembered the juicy, juicy story, and I think that that's something that a lot of people struggle with. Do you ever struggle with trying to fit too much in?
Probably. You know, I probably do because I've got so much I want to tell people, but as I've gotten older and matured, I think I'm better at it now. But I just remember this. As we tell about stories, I want people to catch this little point, and I don't want to miss this, that I learned early on that facts, you just said leadership fact number one and statistic number two. Facts tell, stories sell. Facts tell, stories sell. And I've always remembered that, and that's one of the things when we do our boot camps, we help people develop their story, because everybody got a story. Some people just don't realize they got a story. So we help them during that time because we only got a few people, you know, we keep it small, that we can actually work with people and over a couple of days help them develop their signature story or their main story, and we just kind of carve it out and work with it. Because, see, most people don't realize that sometimes their most important or most identifiable fact is that which is most closest to them, and they don't realize it. It's so obvious to everybody else but them. And so I like to tell people it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. Sometimes you need somebody outside the frame to look at the picture and say, oh, you didn't notice that. Well, you can't, because that's called scotoma. And scotoma is that blind spot that we all have. And that's why in your car they say there's a blind spot, you know, to make sure you check before you create changing lanes. There's a blind spot. Well, there's a blind spot as well in your life that is usually that which is most closest to you. Just as the car is, the blind spot is always the one closest to you. The blind spot in your life is that which is closest to you. So you need somebody else to come back and say, hey, you know what? This is what moved me, really. What, you know, it's so funny, Jane, what sets me apart primarily as a speaker from most of my contemporaries is not just that I'm high energy and that I've got a story about telling setbacks or comebacks, but what sets me distinctively apart is that I sing. Okay, I sing better than most speakers. I just typically, that's just what I do. I was a singer who became a speaker. And so singing and music is a part of my package. But initially, I didn't want to sing in my presentations because I thought people would not get, you know, they wouldn't get that I was a speaker. I was a legitimate speaker. Until one of my friends said, why aren't you singing? You do that better than most people I know. Sing and speak and do it all in one. And when I did, it just went, you know.
So right through the roof. Now, I've got a couple of questions coming in. If anybody wants to ask a question, they can email with question in the subject line to jane@speakerlauncher.com. One question was around more concrete information on getting clients, and if we have time at the end, I might ask you about that. But really, my motto is that there's no better form of marketing than a really terrific speech.
Let me deal with that question, because that's a good question. And right now, when people are struggling to get speeches, how do they get more clients? And they might as well tell them, you're absolutely right. First of all, that the best marketing tool is a really good speech, because people will go out and talk about it and talk about you. But also, you've got to be willing to find your little area of expertise and that you are really good at. And then start finding what people's problems are and whether your solution can help them solve their problems. The more problems you can solve for a client, the more clients you'll get. And how do you do that? Well, you've got to market. And interesting enough, most people don't want to do that or don't know how to do that. And I had, this economy has been tough, okay, for everybody. And I had a lady call me one day who was a well-known speaker and had been speaking for a number of years. And she said to me, is your business impacted by the economy? I said, sure it is. And she said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm on the phone marketing. I'm on the computer marketing. She said, well, how do you do that? And she said, I've never had to do that because when I started, I tapped into one of the big speakers, national speakers, who were very well known, and I tapped into his training organization, and they gave me the speeches, and then I just started giving speeches, and I was pretty good. And that was all I had to do, and everything. I never had to make any phone calls. I never had to do any marketing. I never had to send out any postcards. I never had to send out any emails. I never had to call up clients. I never had to ask what their problems were. I never had to do that. What do you do to market? And I realized that marketing, which comes somewhat to me second nature because I started marketing when I was in nightclubs singing. I had to market to get people in the seat. You know, the club owner didn't really care how good you were, how many awards you won. He didn't care that you could hit these notes or not hit these notes or do this and that. He cared how many people were in the seat. So even though our band, we practiced hard and we worked hard and we were good and people liked our music, our number one priority every month was to get, every week, I mean, when we were performing, it was to get people in the seats. So I was sending out postcards, I was doing interviews, I was marketing, and I learned that if people don't know you're there, they can't come to be a part of your experience. So I'm glad that person asked that question. How do you get more events? Well, Jane, you're right. You got to be good. You got to give a good presentation. And then you've got to, and in my speaker success pack, by the way, there's speech back at NSA 1994, that same year I was on the main stage. It was my first breakout. It was called How to Go from Unknown to Known in a Year, because I had just joined NSA the year earlier. And How to Go from Unknown to Known in a Year, and I talked about these marketing techniques. And that CD is actually in my speaker success pack. It was like 45 tips on how to do it. Bam! Here's what you got to do. Bam! I mean, it was so high energy. It was just off the chain. I was young and I was high energy and I was enthusiastic and I was bouncing off the walls. I mean, it's really good tape. So if you want to hear that, you get
so
that.
So how do they get the speaker success pack?
Just go to my website. In fact, let me tell you. Anybody? No, don't go to my website. Don't do that. No. It's like $397 in my $400 in my website. Don't do that.
Okay.
I want you to call my office. Tell my office assistant, Cheryl, that you're a friend of James, and that you want it, and you get it for half price. Now, you got to say you're a friend of James, and you want to speak a success pack, and you get that for half price, okay?
Okay. Cool. I got a couple more quick questions for you. Are you still speaking, this is from Garrett, are you still speaking at schools about drug prevention?
Yeah, you know, I thought it... And my assistant, Cheryl, just told me, if you want to get it on the website and you're out of the country or somewhere, I don't know where it is, there is a code on the... What's the code, Cheryl?
Speak.
Just go to that. When you go to my website to order it, put the code in and speak. And she'll know. She'll know that
that's
you get
the coupon. That's probably your coupon code, right?
Coupon code. That's it. That's okay. What she told me. I don't know how it works, but she told me. Anyway, you asked about speaking in schools. Education market is a viable market. It's still a viable market. Now, it was much more viable years ago than it is now, only because the fact that schools had control over all their budgets at that point in time, rather than having to look at to the school system. But I still do some schools. Occasionally, I'm doing one next week in Mississippi. They've called and asked, and I'm going to do it. Part of that is my giving back, but part of it is still it is a market that has a need and I enjoy. But my first 5 years of speaking, that's all I did. Where my buddies who were coming into NSA at the same time as I were in the corporate arena, and they were building their name and recognition and reputation in the corporate arena, I was very happy just in the youth market. And I did it for 5 years, first the schools locally, then regionally, then nationally, then internationally. I had a lot of success in the marketplace as one of the top speakers and youth speakers for a number of years, and it continued to grow. And then I started getting the teachers who would say, can you come to my teachers association, and that allowed me to get to learn about adult messages and association messages. And then that led to associations, led some to college associations. I started doing the college market for a couple years and did that. And then that led to the corporate market. More associations would have me, and they would have their attendees come from this company, that company, this organization, this government agency. And I grew to that market. And then it just continued to grow. And I wrote my first book, It Only Takes a Minute to Change Your Life, and thank God it became a bestseller. And then a few years later, I wrote my second book, Turn Setbacks into Comebacks, which really was the one that put my name on the map. And I really am grateful for that book and the messages I learned in writing that book and the lessons I learned. And so it's been a evolution, and I want to say to everybody, it's just getting started. I want to let y'all know this is just the starting point of the Willie Jolly story, because I really believe that, I'll tell you later about it, but I believe the best is yet to come.
That's so cool, and we do keep watching you grow. It's been really phenomenal over the last 20 years to watch your career. So let me knock off a few questions real quick for you. Share with Julia how you incorporate the singing, because she sings and she's not quite sure how to do it.
Yes, that's a good question. Because a lot of people, when they have a musical gift, I'll get an email from somebody who say, hey, one of my NSA members recommended I reach out to you because I sing, and I already know that they want info on how to incorporate it. Here's what I do, okay? I will start off speaking, typically. Now, typically I'll start off speaking. And once or twice I have started off with music. But typically I'll start off speaking, and I will speak, do my speech, and at the end I will close with an inspirational song. Depending on the time of day it is, sometimes I will put music in the middle just to break up the monotony. Now, if it's a morning meeting, I don't put music in the middle, because in the morning people are fresh and they're cognitive and they're strong-minded and they're thinking about business, and you want to give them a lot of content and a lot of information, not as much entertainment, but more content and information. In the afternoon, they tend to be a little weaker, you know, this harder time.
For carbohydrates.
Yes, right. So I, in the afternoon, I've got to keep them awake and I've got to keep them alert. So sometime in the middle, I do a jazz song when I tell my story of being fired from my jazz gig and being replaced by a karaoke machine. I say, oh, before I can tell you that story, let me take you there. And I take them to a jazz club and I sing a little bit of jazz. But it really depends on when it is. And if it's an evening event, I'll add a few more songs, but I still sing. Now, I had an experience not long ago where someone said, well, I want you to do just about all of your speeches, you know, your whole event of music. I said, well, that's not really what I do anymore, because I used to be a jazz singer, and all I would do was sing and speak a little bit in between the songs. That's not what I do. I'm a speaker now primarily who also sings. So I enjoy adding both, but I make sure people know that I want to give them something that they will walk away with. Now, let me say this also. One of my good speaker buddies, Nito Cobain, said to me one day something that I've never forgotten. He said, you know, you really are a good singer. Why didn't you choose to become just a singer and not a speaker? What were you thinking? We were in a kind of conversation like this with other speakers. I said, let me tell you why. Because I had to make a conscious decision that 100 years from now, believe it or not, most people will not remember the great singers, but they will remember the great speakers and communicators. We remember Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It's still quoted. I don't know who the greatest singer of that era was. So people in their time, they like entertainment and they enjoy it for the moment, but entertainers change. But we will remember Martin Luther King's speech hundreds of years from now. And I want to be one of those speakers that somewhere along the line someone will say, hey, it was this guy who came my way who gave a speech to talk about turning setbacks into comebacks, or gave a speech about an attitude of excellence, or gave a speech about the minutes that can change your life, that changed my life. Or I even read about it or heard about it. And by that time, they'll have all sorts of new technology to play it back.
So you you want it to be more purposeful in your life. And
yes, I did. And so the music is great. So that's what I want to say to the person about the music. Make the music the icing on the cake
Okay, right. That's very good. Okay, we've got a few more. I'm gonna try to get to your questions. I apologize if we don't. We will open it up at the end here for Q&A. It's just going to be a little crazy with so many people on the line, so not sure how that will go. Dave wants to learn about the art on closing the speech. So you close with a song. Let's say Dave can't sing.
No problem.
What would you recommend for him?
I would recommend he close with a story that's memorable.
Yeah.
A story that's memorable, that is, typically it has some emotion in it. Something emotional, something either make them laugh or make them cry. Something that has an emotes a feeling. Because that will you want people to walk away. Now, let me tell you a good lesson, though. You don't want to down a story at the end of your speech. You don't want to down a story. You want your story to be something that lifts them up. Now, if you got to down a story, okay, now part of your message, because there are people who have down a story. I have a friend whose message is, tells a story about how when her children were infants, her husband went out to get milk one night for the youngest child and was killed in a robbery. And she tells her story about struggling to get back from that tragedy. Or you've got the other kind of tragic stories that people have built their business on. But notice that they don't do it at the end, because you've got to have a time and a place. If you take them into a valley, you got to have room and time to bring them out that valley up to that mountaintop, so they leave on a mountaintop experience. So I recommend, if you've got a downer or a real tragic or painful whatever story in your repertoire, put it midway or toward the front or
pull them up,
little after the front, but not at the back, because you got to have time to bring them up out of there.
Yeah, good. All right, now Mimi said, would you share your best is yet to come story? How long is that story?
Let me do it real quick.
Might as well demonstrate it.
I talk about in my speeches, and I pretty much now close all my speeches with this story, because it's profound. Now, for years, I've closed with a couple of different clothes. I close with the Impossible Dream song, or I close with If You Believe from the Wiz song, or I close from the Broadway play, The Phantom of the Opera. I believe it's Phantom of the Opera. This is the Moment, that song. So I've got a number of songs that I can use that I always have with me if I am a need, or I have even my iPod, so I can make my mind if I can do it. Or I would close with a story by Martin Luther King Jr. as a child, and I'll give you both my top two closes. Let me do that. Let me give you my top two closes, and that may get something for people. So one of my favorite closes is this. Imagine, if you would, the year is 1944. The campus is Morehouse College. We're in the office of the president. His name is Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays. He's sitting at his desk. There's a knock on the door. He says, come in. The big wooden door swings open, and in the doorway is a man and a teenage boy. Dr. Mays jumps to his feet, goes to grab the hand of the man, Martin Luther King Sr., Daddy King. He says, my old friend, come on in. Daddy King steps in. Dr. Mays takes his hand and grabs it. I'm so glad to see him. Daddy King says, I know you're busy. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I want to introduce you to my son. His name is Marty. We call him ML, but his real name is Martin Luther King Jr. He's 15 and just graduated from college. He's going to come here in the fall as a freshman, 15, going to college, very bright boy. And he's a good boy, never giving me a stitch of trouble. But he's missing something, and I need a big favor. No, I don't need room and board. No, I don't need tuition. It's critical, but it's more important than that. I came to ask you, would you teach my son how to dream big dreams, impossible dreams? And Dr. Mays took on the task and gave young Marty a piece. He said, young man, read this piece every day, and it will change your life. And young Marty read it every day, and it changed his life. And one day I got hold of it, and I started reading it, and I started reading it every day, and it changed my life. And I put it in my book, It only takes a minute to change a life. Then in my book, turn setbacks into greenbacks, because so many people said it, they read it, it changed their life. It's so simple, but yet so profound. It simply reads, it must be borne in mind that the tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching your goals. No. The tragedy lies in not having a goal to reach for. It is not a calamity to die with your dreams unfulfilled, but it is a calamity not to dream. It is not a disaster to be unable to capture your ideals, but it is a disaster to have no ideals to capture. It is not a disgrace not to reach the stars, but it is a disgrace to have no stars to reach for. Not failure, but low aim is sin. That's one close. The other close is the best is yet to come. So I'm finishing my speech. I'm giving them my five steps for success that I usually tell them in my speech. Depending on what group I'm doing, maybe there's 3 points I want to lead them with. But I reiterated them. Okay, now let's go through them again, folks. Make sure we all, you tell me what they are. Step number one, they'll tell me. Step number two, okay. Step number three, all right, great. Well, I close with this, and I hope that you will enjoy it as much as I enjoy sharing it with you. When I was a new speaker, I didn't have any books, any tapes. I had no radio, no television, no name recognition, no credentials, no credibility, nothing but a dream and a desire to inspire people. I was struggling to keep the lights on, keep the phones on. And finally, one day, the phone rang and someone wanted me to come speak. The person was from Orlando, Florida. I went to Orlando to give the speech. And I gave them the speech, and they gave me a standing ovation. I was ecstatic. Then they gave me the check, and it was everything they had promised and a little more. I was overwhelmed. I must have looked at that check for about 10 minutes. Well, finally I put the check in my pocket and finished meeting and greeting people. Then I went back to the airport to come back home. On the plane, coming back home, I sat in my seat on the aisle and pulled out that check one more time because I wanted that thrill one more time. But when I looked at it the second time, I got depressed. I got depressed because I realized that money was already allocated. It was gone. Anybody ever got your check before you get home? It's gone. Gone. And I started having a pity party with myself. And as I'm sitting there having this pity party, there was an older gentleman across the aisle from me who must have sensed I was struggling. He spoke to me and struck up a conversation. We talked for a few minutes. He asked me a few questions. Then he asked me a question that changed my life. He said, "Young man, how old do you think I am?" I said, "Sir, I think you're about, maybe about 60. He smiled. He took off his glasses. He looked me dead in the eye. He said, "Young man, I'm 88 years old. I'm 88, and my best is yet to come." In that moment, everything changed. If an 88-year-old man could have that kind of optimism, what did I have to whine and cry and complain about? And I went home that day with a new attitude. And I got on the phone and started making sales calls. And people say no, I say next. And they say, "I'm not interested in your speech or your message." I said, "You're not the right one. Thank you for your time." And I kept calling people. 20 years have gone by. I've been inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame. I've been named one of the outstanding 5 speakers in the world. I've had best-selling books and television and radio. But it's just the tip of the iceberg, because I truly believe that the best is yet to come. And I say to you, no matter what you're going through and the challenges and difficulties and situations and issues and circumstances that you're facing, I say to you that your best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come.
Roaring applause.
Yes, that's so good.
I've heard
that story before, and you know, I don't know if you know how genius it is, but not only are you telling the story, you're actually encouraging them to help you follow your dream. So you're planting the seed with the audience that this is what I want to do for a living, and I'm going to keep on doing it. And you're probably encouraging them to come and give you your business card afterwards and say, "Hey, Willie, I know a place you can speak."
Absolutely.
Like, hello, how genius is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They come back and they give me that card and they give me the information, and then they say, I want all your books. I want all your stuff. Give me that big old box of stuff over there on the desk. We got a thing called a wow box. Give me that wow box. I want all your stuff.
Let's talk about the wow box. Let's talk about this, because Adam asked the question, how's the best way to sell the books and et cetera, without appearing like a sales pitch?
Yeah.
Do you just do it very subtly? Do you mention it? What do you do?
Well, you know, Adam, that's a good question. First of all, it really depends on what kind of audience I'm speaking to. Like this weekend, I'm speaking to Five Links. It's a network marketing group. And I will spend probably 10 minutes talking about my products, you know, at least. Okay, because that's
what
they'll
probably line up for 2 hours, right?
Right, and they are built on that. Okay, they are motivated to become products of the product. But if you're speaking for a corporate group, or you're speaking for a association, they didn't hire you to come and pitch your product. So, what I try and do is very subtly. When I have my books, I will, like that Martin Luther King quote, I'll read it out of the book.
From the book, yeah.
I'll read it from the book. And you know, just say as in my book on page 11, it reads, you know. And people say, I want that piece. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So I will subtly just tell them that if it's something you'd like or for me to sign something, I'll be in the back. I'd be happy to stay around and autograph whatever you like, if you like that book, or if you just want me to sign your playbill or your brochure or your program, whatever it is. My goal is to make sure that you leave here excited about your future. So you have to be subtle about the other event, and that you don't come off as a huckster or an oil salesman and snake oil salesman. So the answer to the question is, it depends on your group, one, and if they're bringing you in to speak, do a great speech. And really, a great speech would draw people to your table, if you have
all
a
right.
table.
Nice. Robert Knight just...
Oh, yes, about the Wild Box. Wild Box, by the way, is...
Wild Box.
Yeah, the Wild Box is our big box. It's a box which has all of our products. It has the Entrepreneur Success Package, which is a big old package with me and Les Brown together, a seminar we did, plus things on the Millionaire Mindset that I did in a Skype presentation that's really a wow, plus interviews and information on how to grow the entrepreneurial part of your business, and a booklet. Then there's the Speaker Success Package that's in the Wild Box. Often people buy that old thing. And then we've got my radio show interviews. And you've been on my radio show, and I want to encourage people, by the way, if you have XM Radio, that you can hear the best and the brightest. I've had Jane on, and thought leaders are on that every week, whether it's Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Wizards, Les Brown, Nito Cobain, Mark Victor Hansen, just one after another, Joe Calloway, you name them, I've had them on, and incredible information. It's every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 on channel 169, which is the power on XM Radio, and it replays on Sunday morning, 7 to 9. And anybody, by the way, who is maybe don't have XM Radio but wants the information, if you go to my website, there's a thing called the Wealthy Ways Network. And if you will just sign up for that, we'll send you information on our new program where we're going to get those interviews accessible to people through our like a club. Finally, if you sign up for my newsletter, go to the website. You will get an automatic free interview with me and billionaire Bob Johnson, who started Black Entertainment Television, who now owns the Charlotte Bobcats and is one of the wealthiest men in America. I interviewed him, and it was just profound. It was just profound. I have listened to that thing over and over again because there's so many tips he gives. So go to my website, willyjolly.com, sign up for the newsletter, and you get that absolutely free.
Awesome. Well, listen, we've got about 8 minutes left, so I'm going to go into Q&A mode.
Okay.
And that means... So I think everybody heard that. You can unmute yourself by pressing *6 if you would like to ask a question. And this might give our lines a chance not to be too chaotic. So if you'd like to ask a question of Willie, just go ahead and step up at this point.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much. I absolutely love your newsletters. I mean, I get something out of them every single time. I'm 21 years old, and I'm all the way from Brazil. I currently live in South Carolina. And I just have one question for Willie. Thank you so much for being with us as well. I mean, you have no idea how much information, how many notes I took today, and I will be emailing you.
I believe that.
I'll be emailing you. But I was wondering about the opening of the speech. What kind of advice would you give us? I mean, do you start out funny, with a funny story? I mean, do you start out, like, powerfully, you know, telling about struggles? What do you do?
Yeah, thank you. By the way, what part of South Carolina are you in?
I am in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, I hope you say that. Every morning now, you can watch me on WLTX Channel 19 in Columbia, South Carolina at 5:25 and 6:45 on the CBS station in Columbia.
Really?
Turn it on. Every morning now, Monday through
Friday.
Wow. Okay?
Is it 5:05 in the morning, right?
5:25 in the morning and 6:45. They play it twice a day. So just watch my little message every morning on Channel 19 in Columbia.
Incredible.
Now, the answer to your question, how do you start? You want to start off by wowing them. That's for sure, okay? You don't want to stand there and say, well, thank you, I'm glad to be here. No, you do not want to do that. You want to start off, the first thing out your mouth got to be a wow. You got to do something like stand up and say, good morning. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost a cinch, you won't. Folks, I believe you're winners in here today. And today I want to share with you some ideas to help you grow and go to the next level. Are you ready to go to another level? Let's get it on.
Wow.
Okay? Something that you cannot get up there. Now, Naomi Rhodey will start like this. She'll start with saying, it was a beautiful day in Germany as we flew in over the clouds and flew, or Patricia Fripp will start with, I met a client in San Francisco that had an impact on me. He taught me, but you got to start with something that takes their mind. See, you want to do three things. There are three C's. Your speech wants to do three C's. You want to captivate. You want to captivate them first. Take their mind from wherever they're thinking. They're thinking about their laundry list. They're thinking about their what they got to pick up after school, their kids. They got a whole bunch of stuff in their head when you step up to the stage. So you got to captivate them, first thing, and change their thinking to listen to you. Second, it got to be compelling. Your speech must be compelling. And finally, if you want to wow your audience, you got to have a speech that's captivating, compelling, and life-changing.
Life-changing. Perfect.
Set those three C's, captivating, compelling, and life-changing. And it's compelling because of what the stories you tell and the challenges you challenge them to achieve.
Uh-huh. That's beautiful. My goodness. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I like, Willie, that you said everyone's going to have a different style.
Yes.
I mean, you've got this kind of preacher-like essence. If I went out there and tried to do that, that would not work very well.
Right.
And
everybody's style. That's why you got to... That's right. That's why you got to remain a Naomi Rhodey who does it different, or Frippy who does it different. And all the great speakers start off a different way. You know, just find your way and do your thing.
Very good.
Willie.
Let's open it up.
Yes.
Willie, I just want to tell you one thing. My name is Pedro. I will be contacting you. Oh, my goodness. You have
all right,
no
God
idea
bless you,
Pedro. Today.
Thank you,
now,
my friend.
I came from poverty, from nothing, Brazil. Now I'm one of the top 50 undergraduate students in the whole country. And I'm going to be sharing that message with this guy. Just thank you so much for inspiring me today.
My pleasure. God bless you.
That's great.
I got a quick marketing question.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm Antonio. I'm here in Atlanta. And I think you spoke here at one of the Brownback luncheons here in Atlanta.
For the chapter?
Back. Yes.
Yes, I did.
And I didn't get a chance to meet you because I had spoke with them before, and they had gave me one of your books as, you know, my reward. And I was like, wow, you know, that kind of like the first time I had heard about you. Then I saw you in Success Magazine, and now I'm here listening to your story here with James. So it's a remarkable story. It's excellent. I'm actually inspirational. And I've been speaking for about a year now, and, you know, with your insights and tips are great. What do you think the main marketing in this day and age is as far as being a speaker? I hear a lot of speakers, they hit the phone. I mean, is there like a certain, what works best for you? What would you
say? Well, we found that, you know, I'm old school, okay?
I'm old school, so part of my old school mindset is that I got to learn how to be new school. I'm learning. I got a great marketing manager who does all the new media marketing and social media marketing. She's tweeting, and I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to keep up, but I'm old school. I pick up the phone and call people and talk to them and let them hear my voice either on a voicemail or personally and say, I think I can help you grow your business. Let me tell you what I can do for you and how I can help you solve your problem. Okay, so I'm old school. Plus, I believe still in sending out postcards and sending out mailers and going old school and new school. So I don't think there's one way or the other. You got to be doing it. The magic is in the mixture. It's a lot of getting the word out. You want to get the word out. And I'm on television. And I'm on radio. So I'm trying to be massively impactful so that people's lives can change. Remember, if you give them a life-changing message, they won't forget you.
Gotcha.
That is wonderful. And, hey, I also want to send out an offer to everyone. If you would like, hang on, I'm just going to. Oh, sorry, hang on a second. Made a little boo-boo there. I just would like to offer something up to everyone on the line today. If you're interested in the new school approach, I just wrote the 2011 update for the Wealthy Speaker, and I'm happy to send it out to you on PDF. So just drop me a line with the subject line 2011 update, and I'll talk to you about how I believe we need to do it today. But I really want to encourage you to look at both old school and new school ideas and think about what really is perfect for you. Willie can pick up the phone and talk to anybody, and you can get his energy coming across the line, which is what really is going to help close sales for you, Willie. And but I think there's a lot of things that you're probably already doing, that Cheryl's doing with you as well, that'll help complement.
Well,
that.
Let me say first and foremost that I want a copy of that PDF, so please send it, because
okay.
I love you and I love what you're doing. And anybody who doesn't know about Jane Atkinson and her brilliance, if you just happen to hear about this teleseminar from a friend, you want to connect with Jane Atkinson. She's brilliant, and she knows what she's talking about. She's one of the best in the business, so I'm grateful for her friendship. So I want to learn that. I want to read it myself. Again, time is short, but I want to at least tell people, if you want to come to my speaker boot camp, I need you to call today to ask for Cheryl. 202-723-8863, 202-723-8863. There are a few seats left because it's going to be very intimate in my office, so it's going to be actually in my space. So we don't have a room for 100 people. We've got to be very small because we want to be able to help you craft your stories.
Those dates again.
Those dates are April 29th and April 30th. April 29th and April 30th. And again, the Speaker Success Package, if you just want to get my Speaker Success Package, which is over 6 hours of recorded material, conferences, and information, as well as a book on how to grow your business in that package, you can. And well, in my keynote from Toastmasters, which I'm very proud to say, I was a year after Tony Robbins, and they told me my take sold twice as many as his. I just don't have to say that. Just have to say
Yay.
That. Anyway, but it was a powerful message, and that's also in that package, and the one I told you about, this Turbocharger Speaking Career, How to Go Unknown to Known in a Year. And if you say on the website, and the code SPEAK is the code. And if you want to call, just say, heard me on with Jane, you get half price.
Okay, use coupon code SPEAK, and I'm sure Cheryl will be much grateful for you to make that purchase online. All right, well, Willie, I just want to say thank you so much. This recording is going to be one of the hot ones, and I hope you all will tell your friends to go to speakerlauncher.com to pick up a copy of it in about 24 hours. We'll have it posted. And I knew that today's call was going to be one of the best that we will do this year and perhaps in the next few years to come. So thank you so much, Willie, for sharing so much of yourself and for demonstrating what great storytelling looks like and teaching us all how to be more magical on the platform.
Thanks for listening to The Wealthy Speaker Show. Please visit speakerlauncher.com for your free Wealthy Speaker audit, and visit speakerlauncher.com/podcast for show notes and many more resources to help you catapult your speaking business. See you soon, Wealthy Speakers.